Hello, friends. This is Ted, Ted Marr from Out of This World Radio, and I want to thank you so much for listening today. I have a fantastic guest on my show named Joseph P. Anthony. He's a fantastic astrologer out of Arizona, and I know Joe's a humble guy, so he's not going to say this, but I will. I think he's one of the best astrologist in the country, and I always love his insights about what's going on in the world. And Joe, could you give out your website, please, for people who might like to contact you?
Sure. JosephPAnthony.com or planetswithin.com is my main website. So you could go there and see my monthly newsletter and a whole bunch of videos. So.
Hey, okay, great, great, great. Now, we practice makes perfect, as they say. And we did an interview earlier today where the audio was shut off on my end. So we're doing this again. But I know if we, well, the second time's a better time anyway. So we'll have a good interview.
Sure.
Joe, briefly, how did you get interested in astrology?
Well, you know, I've always been, as far back as I could remember as a kid, I was always asking questions and wondering, you know, who we were and where, why are we here? And
sure.
I know I had something to do here. And I kept looking for answers, but I couldn't find them. And, but I've been studying everything from mythologies to religions and even psychology. And I never really gave astrology a second thought. Until I got into later on in my late 20s is when I really got into astrology. And I just happened to be in a bookstore one night and I picked up this one book that said The Only Astrology Book You'll Ever Need by Joanne Maritime. I sat down, read almost the whole thing. And I said, something about this book and this information is very important to me. And I need to understand it, you know?
Sure.
I need to understand why these ancient cultures created these stories and why it is that this makes sense. And then I began to study it and devour it. And that's where it came into be. And I realized what astrology really is, you know, understanding all the cycles and how it relates to human behavior.
What's amazing, it must be amazing, Joe, for you to look at the star patterns and constellations and you know, the influences they have on human behavior, and then go into the future, and then let's say you make a chart, star chart for the next 4 months or 6 months or year, and then everything you predicted comes true.
Well, I don't know about that. Not everything usually comes true.
Yeah.
I'm a very honest individual, but what we're doing as astrologers is we're seeing the trends and the patterns. And then you have to use your own intuition to kind of tune in to what's going on in a person's life or a chart or, you know, the dynamics, because there's too many variables at play. If it was that easy, you know, everyone would be doing astrology and understanding it and really just focusing on it big time. But it's really an art in a sense that you have to use your common sense coupled with intuition and the charts to really kind of see the picture. And so you're tuning into something and it's not always accurate. I mean, my accuracy rate's pretty high, 80%, 85%.
Well, that's good.
But, that's pretty good. But no one is up, you know, 100% because it's just, there are too many variables because you have free will involved. You know? So.
Well, it's better than the weather forecasters.
Yes, exactly. I agree there for sure. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's a fascinating study, and it really has a lot to do with just understanding the dynamics of the universe. Because as the ancient cultures wrote, as above, so below, so without, so within. You know, everything out there happens within us. We're in the same sort of vibrational field because everything is sound and light in this universe. Our bodies are vibrating. So whatever is going on in the planets, which is, you know, constantly changing, going around this sun. And of course, I did a video not too long ago. It's on my website called Spiritual Activation, the New Moon Outlook. And I talked about the galactic center, which we are every year we go through Sagittarius, and we're being activated by this cosmic energy coming in from the galactic center, which is also playing a very important role right now in our lives.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I remember you talked earlier, Joe, about what's happening in the next month or two. What do you see happening next month? Is it going to be an interesting time for us?
Oh, absolutely. Buckle up, friends, because we're going to see quite a bit of craziness, I would say. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic or, you know, negative here. But the astrology since 2008, you know, since Pluto entered Capricorn, and then last year we had three planets in Capricorn, the outer planets, which is all about transforming society and the power structures.
Right.
And one of those areas has been politics here in the United States. You know, I'm sure your listeners are aware of that fun entertaining topic. we're going to see a lot of dramatic changes here in the U.S. with pertains to the election. This election here, as we're doing this video on the 24th of December, is not over. I predicted at the beginning of 2020, and again towards the end of 2020, before the election, that Mr. Trump will stay in office. And I based that on his chart, but also intuition and the fact that everything is being revealed right now. So I think we are in for a major battle in the next 2 months. And when I say we, I mean the collective humans, not necessarily a Republican or Democrat. Sure. I really don't believe in political parties, you know, because they've actually shown themselves to be, how should we put this nicely, low lives. So we are basically going to see around January the 6th, chaos in Washington. I know there's a huge protest going on there. Mr. Trump has asked many patriots to show up in Washington. And then from the 6th all the way through the 20th of January, it's pure chaos, because Jupiter is going to be squaring Uranus, for those of you keeping track. And then we got Mars conjuncting Uranus. I mean, it's just very volatile energy, Ted, as we just start off the first month of the year, you know, and unfortunately it will spill into February as well.
Sure, sure. I remember you gave an outline, very interesting overview, Joe, of this coming year, where you said that January would be a lot of turmoil, challenges. February calms down a little bit, and then March is a plateau, and then it starts to get better. And by, what did you say, July, it would be much better.
Well, July, we have some really positive aspects that are coming into effect. Okay. And I'll focus on that first, because it's not all doom and gloom.
Okay.
We have a wonderful alignment between Venus and Mars in the sign of Leo. The transiting moon also happens to be in Leo on those few days, which is very amazing.
Sure.
What Leo represents in the zodiac, or symbolically, is love, family, caring, creativity. It's the sign associated with the lion, you know, in the zodiac and on all the zodiacs. Sure. Around the world. And also, it's symbolic of the sun. So it's associated with the sun. Leo, the symbol, is associated with the sun. So this is the giver of life. This is the source of our life on this planet. So what we've got is a very positive alignment in July. So I'll take you through that same sort of roller coaster that I mentioned earlier.
Sure.
The first 2 months of 2021 can be very unstable. Anything from power outages to internet issues going down to people just losing their marbles because of the alignments that are occurring. Because what's being challenged right now is people's belief systems. And so that's what's really at stake right now. And of course, the powers that shouldn't be and the criminal media will keep harping and poking and putting more fuel on the fire that I see the first 2 months of the year. Then it seems to calm down a little bit in March. I'm not saying a lot, but a little bit. And as we go into March, there's a little bit of turbulence, but not as much. I don't see anything major astrology-wise in March. But then we go into April, Pluto goes retrograde again, and things seem to slow down a little bit, because they're making their way into May when Jupiter enters the sign of Pisces. On the 14th. And this is a time where we are more compassionate and more understanding, maybe a little more optimistic, and we start feeling a little bit better. But May is by no means, you know, a peaches and cream, but there is a lot of change happening in May, especially the second half of May, when there's a lunar eclipse in Sagittarius on the 26th. So I'm going to say around that time, a lot of the shenanigans in the political theater may calm down by then. We also might see the end of the virus by the summer months, okay? Because of, between the vaccination and the CDC saying that it's a 99.9% curable disease, you know, my best suggestion to everyone, stop wearing the silly masks.
You know? Right.
And then we go into June and July, we have some more energy coming in, which is very strong. So as you can see here, the wave is coming in. It's very high first 2 months.
Sure.
Starts to level off a little bit in April and May, and then starts to take off again in just June, because June we have a solar eclipse in Gemini. Mm-hmm. And we, a few days later, we have the second square of Saturn and Uranus, the first one being in February the 17th. Then we have a wonderful month coming in, I believe, in July and August. Should be kind of calm. And as we go into the fall season, I think it's going to be, you know, where are we going? What are we doing kind of mindset? Where everything is readjusting. We're going into a new mindset, a new period. And I have, I really do believe that some sort of change to the financial system may be enacted or talked about, like going back to a gold standard or cryptocurrency, or maybe my wish is to do away with the IRS, the criminal IRS institution. You know, that's just me, but you know, but that's
and the Federal Reserve too.
And the Federal Reserve, yes, let's not forget those wonderful people.
Which is not federal, and it's not reserve.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have those dynamics at play, and we'll see how it plays itself out. Because like I said, it's really up to the people. And I've never seen so many people awake right now participating in this election process, because I think people are starting to get that it's not about Trump and Biden. It's the powers behind them that are revealing themselves.
A wider issue that some people have brought up, Joe, is that if the election was gerrymandered now, what about all those other elections in past decades? Were they also fraudulent as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, how do you have people like Maxine Waters and, you know, all those criminal politicians in not just Washington, but in California that have been in there? And people, you ask people, did you vote for them? No. How the hell do they keep getting in? I guess those voting systems there, that software and that company, I'm not going to mention their names, must be doing a great job, you know?
Well, in my own state of Washington State, Joe, the Democrat Governor Inslee supposedly got like 69% of the vote here in the primary. I don't know anybody who likes him. He has maybe some support in Olympia, the state capital, some, because state workers, and some support in Seattle, which is very liberal. But the rest of the state, you see all these signs saying dump Inslee. You know, you don't see any of his campaign signs.
Right.
I personally think that the election was fraudulent, personally. That's just my opinion. So
the evidence is overwhelming, Ted. I mean, I've looked at the evidence. And of course, what's his name? Peter Navarro came out with a report, a 36-page report outlining it. For me, I mean, the clincher, not just the video capture in Georgia of those four huge suitcases coming out from under the table, you know, with nobody around. No, that's not obvious enough. But then when you look at Pennsylvania, 100, what is it, 1.6 million absentee ballots went out and 2.8 million came back. Wow, that's a miracle right there. And then, of course, you have Biden, who won only 540 counties nationwide and had 80 million votes. Somebody please explain the math on that one. I just don't add up.
didn't 60,000 Civil War people in the Civil War vote? They're already dead. This was in Wisconsin or Michigan somewhere.
They were telepathically sending their votes to Biden. But I mean, the evidence in this in this election is so obvious.
Yeah,
If you have an open mind and just look at the evidence, the math does not lie.
Yeah,
just like I said, those two incidences right there. And then, of course, all of the other eyewitnesses and people that are saying that, oh, my God, there was so much lying and cheating that was going on. You know, it's like thousands of people. They can't all be crazy.
Yeah. I know it. I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
And then you have the politicians even the Republican politicians not wanting to do any investigations, especially here in Arizona.
Right. Wow. What happened in Arizona? It's a good state, but did they? It was the same thing.
Same thing. The voting machines, got corrupted, because again, I don't know anybody. I mean, I've seen a few lawn signs here, but you know, there wasn't enough. And by the way, they did all of this in Maricopa County and the southern counties. Yavapai County, where I live, was totally red. You know, you could see the map for each county. So it was only the southern counties, because it's easier to manipulate. So we had my friends. I actually talked to two of my friends who basically were given magic markers or the Sharpies to use on their ballots. later we find out that the machine can't read those.
So oh, this was interesting. Mine.
They said the same thing, that no pens were allowed. You had to use a marker. So you had that incidence there. The same thing here, the Biden count, he's up in this state and Georgia by only 10,000 votes. How convenient. Oh. You know, just enough to be right over the top.
Push him over the top. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have the same situation here where there's so right. much corruption and so right. many witnesses coming forward, but right. they won't allow it. The Republican-led legislator has subpoenaed the Senate, has subpoenaed the the Election Commission or whatever. And they're just telling the senators, you know, to screw off. They don't want to basically release the information and the machines. How about that for brazen, huh?
Oh, no. It's like living in some third world country.
Pretty much. But I do believe that these people are either being threatened or being right. bribed. One right. of the two.
Right.
And it's
right.
not just here. It's Georgia. It's Pennsylvania. It's Michigan. Oh, we know about Michigan. And yeah. of course, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Right.
Total corruption.
Right. Right. You know. Right.
So we're seeing it.
I think this is my friends on the other side tell me, Joe, that this is a time of truth. That things that are true will be shown to be true, and those that are false will be shown to be false will fall by the wayside. So with that trend in effect, I think the truth will come out. It'll be difficult for the other side to, if not impossible, for them to hide everything. So,
exactly. Well, it's up to the people. And I've spoken to several people, including some of my clients who live in California. And this one young lady comes to mind. She's about maybe 25 years old. Uh-huh. She said to me, Joe, I've never voted before in my life, but something right. told me, again, you know, whether it's instinct or not, she said, I needed to register and I needed to vote for Trump. Uh-huh. And she goes, I'm apolitical. I couldn't care less about politics, but something told me that I yeah. needed to yeah. register and vote for
yeah.
Trump.
Yeah.
And so when Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell looked at the raw data from those servers that were, taken from Frankfurt, Germany, they both claimed that Trump won 49 states, including California.
I'll be doggone. I'll be doggone.
10 electoral votes. That wow. was the count that they released.
That's
and it was all over the internet before the Gestapo took it down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't we have First Amendment, freedom of speech?
No, we do.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
why don't some of these companies get sued? I don't understand.
They have protection.
What protection?
Well, first of all, you got the criminal law, the criminal liars. I mean, lawyers protecting the system.
They're not all bad, but anyway, yeah.
And then you have the tech companies. Now that have right. the protection of Section 230 out of the Communications Act, which basically says they're a neutral company, they cannot be sued, which I hope to God President that this should be the first thing President Trump does, lift yeah. that right there, just mm-hmm. remove it so that you could sue the tech companies. Mm-hmm. And then of course you need some sort of legal reform in this country.
Right.
You know, too many of these companies are going to Washington with bags of money and basically saying, hey, we need your protection. You know, right. like the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
They can't be sued now.
Right.
Wow. I mean, these other big criminal organizations.
Wow.
So it's just all exposing itself. It's just a matter of, do we have the will, and will President Trump have the spine and surround himself with the team to take this system down?
Sure. I think he does. You know, for any fellow like himself who's independently wealthy, a billionaire,
right.
who doesn't even accept the salary of $400,000 a year, I think he takes right. $1 and gives the rest to charity or something.
Right.
I'm not
right.
sure.
Right, exactly.
But I mean, my goodness, that's no one's done that before, you know.
Well, like you said, he doesn't need the money, and you know, they chose him on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, the people in the military and the good people in the alphabet agencies, because they knew he couldn't be bought and paid for, and I'm sure they had an eye on him for many, many years
sure.
as a possible candidate.
Sure.
And he finally accepted. And sure. this is what they said. You know, it's not me speculating. This is what they said through different people,
right?
Like Steve Pachinik and Dr. Jerome Corsi, mm-hmm. who have admitted this, that the generals told them that.
Wow.
So they've been looking for somebody since JFK
wow.
to take back the power from these criminal globalists.
Sure. Sure.
So
right.
I think they
right.
might have found one. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think things will ultimately turn out okay, Joe, because it's the destiny of this planet to ascend. And President Kennedy tells me if he'd lived, we would have ascended decades ago, and we would be living now on a beautiful, beautiful planet where people would be loving and kind to each other. There would be no war, and we'd be service to others rather than service to self.
Absolutely.
So, and he tells me it's a destiny of this planet to become a loving, kind, benevolent planet. So this, you know, we were, of course, we took a wrong turn after he was assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963. But we're going to do it, Joe. And it's thanks to people like you raising consciousness that's going to help. I want to show you something special, by the way.
Okay.
This is a newspaper article from Christchurch, New Zealand, dated November 23rd, 1963. Kennedy shot dead, talks about Oswald and everything. Well, guess what? That paper was published while President Kennedy was still alive because of the international dateline between New Zealand and the United States. It turns out that the whole thing about Oswald was a fake story circulated around the world. And Lyndon Baines Johnson, Vice President Johnson, had told the U.S. embassies around the world to release that story on the 23rd. Well, they forgot that on the 23rd of November, it's actually 22nd, and President Kennedy was still very much alive. Actually, the press release from the U.S. embassy in Auckland was released on the 21st. So it would be aired on the 22nd.
Sure.
But that was still on the 21st. He was still very much alive in Washington, D.C. because of the dateline change.
Well, that reminds me of 9/11 when that news reporter standing there saying, oh, my God, the building has collapsed. It's still in the background. You know, I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. You get that newscast out before the actual event happens. Good. That's incredible. Incredible. The lies and the manipulation. It's so sad on the one hand and entertaining on the other.
I know it.
You know,
I'm gonna tell you some good news, and I wanted to ask you from an astrological perspective how this looks. But at the beginning of this year, President Kennedy has told me that humanity was giving out about 65% of the planet was sending out this beautiful white light to the rest of the universe. Okay. Since that time, during this pandemic, which I don't believe in it, but anyway, during this time, people have learned to become more service to others and loving and caring and giving. And the amount of positive energy coming from the planet has risen from 65% to 90%, creating a base for the ascension. So I thought that was fascinating. From your studies for this astrology of this year, did the stars tell you it was going to be a tough year? And were there some positive things within that from your astrological perspective?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Since 2020, I knew it was going to be a big year for change. And I called it the year of new foundations because the old ones were crumbling.
Sure.
This year is nothing but change, dramatic change, dramatic revelations, dramatic awarenesses, change through our belief systems. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said earlier, that wonderful positive alignment in July, that is huge. Then we also have we have two eclipses that are going to be more on the positive side. The one on June the 10th in Gemini, and then the other one at the end of the year of 2021 should also be positive. So Jupiter entering Pisces is a very positive alignment as well. So intertwined with all of this change is coming this spiritual awakening or the positive energy that you're talking about. Now, I've always said, and I've always known, because I was shown this in visions and dreams throughout the years, that the energy was coming in, it was going to make us feel very uncomfortable. That's the energy coming from the galactic center. Mm-hmm. And that humanity was going to change and dramatically change their views, their opinions, all of that stuff. And that at some point, we would not be fighting or arguing or trying to control everything so much anymore. So I saw that coming. So this is part of the great awakening. And you can't have one without the other. You know, you can't just go walking around going, oh, everything is, you know, fairies and stars, because, you know, you have to look at the other side as well to see what is what it looks like. So we're looking back at the other side. And we're seeing how we've been manipulated and things have been out of whack. And we're also awakening to how we're all connected. So this is extremely important. And I do see a lot of positive. It's ebbing and flowing. So the first 2 months of the year, it's chaotic, it's crazy, it's irritating. And then we have 2 months of positive energy. So it goes up and down in cycles, like everything else.
Sure.
That's just how it works.
Sure, Joe. Well, I've been following the vaccine that's came up by Pfizer. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's made in China. Interesting, huh? It already has a 4% fatality rate to it. And it apparently has HIV and AIDS in it because there have been reports of people getting HIV and AIDS from the vaccine. Also, it right on the insert for the vaccine, it says that it has the aborted fetal tissue of a 12-week male baby, so that if a woman takes it within 2 years, it rewrites her DNA to make her think like she's a man. And also, the last thing it's got allegedly has nanobots from Bill Gates that takes out the God particle out of people, so people won't believe in God anymore. What have you heard about the vaccine?
Well, the same thing. I mean, I've known about this over the years.
Sure.
Between the chemtrails that they've been spraying with nanobots and the aluminum and burium, we've been ingesting it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've been ingesting it. And the science proving this is not pure speculation or hearsay or conspiracy nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And of course, all the genetic manipulated food. You know, that's attacking the cell receptors in the body.
Sure.
And so what they figured out is that the more we could inject chemicals into people, whether we're talking about the 72 injections and vaccinations that a child has to get before the age of what, six? 72 shots.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
72. It's incredible. And you wonder how this child actually survives. So between that and the silly flu shot, they have the technology to absolutely change your DNA and change your hormonal structure. I mean, look at what they've been doing to the male energy and the testosterone. Okay, just soy. Guys, if you want to keep your testosterone level up, stay away from any soy products whatsoever. So basically, they have been genetically altering people probably about 100 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So nothing new. That they now have it in a vaccination form.
Uh-huh.
Soon they'll have it in Flintstones chewables. I mean, you know, it's not surprising one bit.
Well, I've been told that the COVID testing kits, actually the little cotton swab, they're made in China, and actually the tip of the swab has nanobots and it has the vaccine in it from Bill Gates, so that when you put it in the back of your throat there, it goes through the blood-brain barrier into your head. So people are already getting vaccinated with this horrible vaccine and they don't even know it. They have no idea.
That's a shame. That's an absolute shame.
Yeah.
But again, what's a shame is the people that don't want to see it and are buying into it.
Well, that's true.
Mm-hmm. That's what when I say it's a shame is because there are just people in this world that just follow orders and you know, think that government's benevolent and they're going to help them.
Right.
Or a big corporation is going to be benevolent and willing to help them.
Sure.
They have the furthest from the truth, as you and your audience knows.
Sure.
That's the furthest from the truth.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know.
Well, I guess that brings up my next question, Joe, is that do you see a separation between people who are aware of what's going on, who want the ascension, and those would stick with the old ways or maybe the negative ways?
Well, yeah, of course. That's human nature for you.
Okay.
Even in physics, in electricity, you got negative and positive, you know, charged electrons and electricity, you know, even in a battery, you know, everything's going round and round. Positive is chasing the neutral and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it happens within humanity that you have people in this world that came in under negative timelines or perceive the world in a fear-based or negative way. Mm-hmm. Forgetting who they really are, you know, and then you have people that are just naturally optimistic and positive that want to know how the world really works and be a part of it and make a difference on a larger scale.
Sure.
So you're always going to have that, unfortunately, in this world, because everything's a balance. And that's the way the creator has created it. Mm-hmm. But we do have free will. And that is so important because this is this earth. And this plane, this physical plane, nothing's written in stone. It's just we're experimenting, we're playing, we're creating. And if enough of us raise the vibration, as the spiritual community says, to greater awareness and love and compassion, that will make a huge difference as it, because it ripples out and affects more people.
Right.
See, one of the things that the dark ones and the powers that shouldn't be have known is that how do you control humanity?
Powers that shouldn't be.
Right. You keep them in fear. You keep them locked in fear.
Right, right.
Everything is killing, shooting, dying, murder.
Right.
Look at all the shows and the movies.
Yeah.
And you keep them locked into a lower frequency.
Right.
And so you do that through money manipulation too, and all kinds of, sacrifices and rituals that these crazy bastards have been doing.
I agree with you, Joe. Well, out here, our government in Washington, the state, has been playing these horrible commercials saying, unless you wear your mask, you're going to end up like this. And they show people dying in the hospital with respirators on, which is a bunch of nonsense, the masks themselves only protect you down to 2.0 microns when the virus is 0.15 microns. So essentially you're using chicken wire to keep out a fly. It doesn't work. Totally parrots.
Right, right. Exactly. But that's another story.
Yeah.
The whole mask thing, because it really is a form of obedience. Keep your mouth shut and do as you're told. You're being belittled in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I tell my clients and what I have to do because I have a local store here, and they asked me, because I know everyone there, please wear a mask because otherwise we're going to get complaints and so on like that. I said, okay. So I grabbed a bandana. And because I love the symbolism of that. Remember the cowboys?
Oh, yeah.
The bandana where they robbed the store.
Right.
And so I roll it up nice and tight where it's just dangly over my nose. I'm still able to breathe. I'm not locking in any, and it's just for show. And I repeat, I say this to myself. And I only do that when I have to go into a store over here.
Uh-huh.
I say, I am a sovereign being. This is not going to take away my power of who I am. And this will end and everyone will awaken. And I say that all the time. It's important because as you get used to wearing a stupid mask, you are conditioning yourself.
Right.
So I say this every time. I'm a sovereign being. I do not comply. This will go away.
Sure.
Because it's important, because I see so many people in the stores when the virus first came out, and I'm watching these elderly people in the store wearing the mask.
Right.
I could just sense and tell they were terrified of dying.
Sure.
That's how scared they got, these people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay? Right. Right.
Disgusting.
Well, you turn on any radio program other than mine or television show, and that's all they do is talk about the number of deaths and corona cases.
Right.
I mean, it's just nuts. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Keep the vibration low. That's been the name of the game. That's been their theme. Mm-hmm. Keep the vibration low.
So. Right. Right.
We're going to change that.
There's another late night talk show, of course, Coast to Coast Radio. You probably heard about it.
Oh, sure. I know.
Yeah. They're owned by the George Bush family. And
great.
They talk about, they bought it in 08 from Art Bell to try to influence the elections back then. But at any rate, every broadcast, they talk about the number of virus cases and how many people, often sometimes people dead. And I can't handle it. I just don't like, it's hard for me to listen to that. So I just don't. So,
But you've got too many smart people listening, to Coast to Coast over the years, and they could see through the BS.
Sure. Sure.
Cause they're thinkers, when you listen to talk radio, you have to think.
Right.
When you're watching something on TV or on the internet, you don't have to think, you just watch.
But I think they're a great station. They have a lot of good programs, but I think they've probably been ordered to mention that at the beginning, which doesn't make much sense to me.
I'm sure of it, Ted. I'm sure of it.
They're being told from up above somewhere to emphasize that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all controlled. Isn't
that fun? Anyway. Hey, one thing I want to mention, you mentioned before, Joe, that the years 2024 to 2026 would be very interesting, major changes. Could you go into that a little bit, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I mean, 2021 and 2020 were the big years for the changes, dramatic changes. And I see 2022 being more of an interaction with people on many different levels, including the ET extraterrestrial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been visiting this planets for years. They're actually in other dimensions. And I actually saw this back in 2008, 2009, that we'd be interacting with them on a larger scale. And so I think 2022 definitely sets the stage for something along those lines. But I see humanity being more either friendlier or being more opened and more loving or caring in some way, or leaning heavily in that direction. As we go into 2023, I think we have a continued change and a belief system and ideology. Now, I haven't looked completely at the astrology for these 2 years, but as we go into 2024, when Pluto leaves Capricorn, we'll look back and say there was, and clearly see there was some major changes that needed to occur to the political system. And we'll see it through corporations, the monetary system, all of it. All of that stuff will be changing. So no way around it.
Interesting. I've been in conversations with Q. He said that 2025 will be a major year for the planet because that's when it will make a major shift into the higher dimensions, fifth dimension.
Probably, you know, because the frequency that keeps coming from that black hole is not going away anytime soon. We've got a, my estimation is that it's about a 2000 year cycle. So we've just entered it maybe the last 30 years. So, you know, this is what the Mayans knew about. We crossed over the eclectic and we're in this zone, this alleyway called the photon belt. I've got videos on my website, you know, describing all this stuff.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, wait a minute. It's Christmas. This will be played on Christmas. And 2000 years ago, that's when Jesus was around. A little bit more than that.
Well, okay, if you say so.
Well, anyway, that's what I'm told anyway.
Exactly. So there's no evidence of it, but okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought of it, Joe. And I was thinking, well, you mentioned a 2000 cycle, year old cycle. So perhaps that has something to do with it. I don't know, but.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ted, I don't mean to offend your listeners if they're Christian and Catholic.
No, it's okay. I still like you.
I understand. But, you know, here's the thing about knowing the truth and living your life in that way. Once you know how things have evolved into what we have today.
Right.
It is so difficult to go back and look at like holidays, for instance. For me, I cannot because I know too much. And it's almost a curse in a sense, you know, where this holiday came from, what the ancient cultures were really, you know, celebrating at that time.
Yeah,
but it does basically come down to this. What I've discovered is that all the ancient cultures that predate Christianity were basically worshiping the sun, S-U-N. And that is
S-U-N.
What I discovered. S-U-N, not S-O-N, S-U-N.
Interesting.
And it's the worship of the sun and the return of the sun and all this other stuff. And I don't want to go into it, but that's what we're talking about here. And there's a lot of evidence to prove it, you know, 3,500 years and beyond.
Wow.
So, anyway.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. They have found Native American villages around the Washington area where everybody was buried in a way facing the sun. And if all of them facing the sun. In South America, there's been religions there of the sun where people have been buried in statues all facing the sun. So it's very interesting. Yeah.
Imagine that. Well, there's a wonderful movie called Capex. Have you heard of it? Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
Capex. Capex. It came out, I don't know, about 15, 20 years ago.
I'll write that down.
It has Kevin Spacey in there. You know, please forgive, you know, because we now know he's not a nice person, but.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful movie. And I think everyone should watch it. And one of the most amazing parts is when he literally is talking about the sun. And I'm not going to give away the movie, but he talks about the sun being a beam of light that he is able to travel on. So please watch the movie and you'll enjoy it. It's a good family, clean family, fun entertainment, entertaining movie. One of my favorites, you know, enjoyable.
Oh, nice.
And it's really got a nice story. I think it's a good movie.
Is it as profound and interesting and entertaining as Bedtime for Bonzo with Ronald Reagan in the 50s?
No, I don't know if it's that entertaining, but this one's a little slower. But
sorry,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie, and it talks about you know, life, and it takes you through the perils of this one man who had a horrific experience in his life. And how things changed his life. And I'm not going to give away the story, but you'll find it very interesting if you want to sit down and watch a nice drama, you know, or a nice movie. I think you'll enjoy it. K-Pax with a K, K-P-A-X.
Okay, thank you. I'll look it up. Why not? Okay. That sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds like a lot of fun. If you're going to give one bit of advice to people on two fronts, what can they do to make this planet a better place? What would you tell them? And would you tell them just to hang on where we've got better times ahead?
Well, the first thing I would suggest is that you could make a difference every day by just making people smile or laugh or ask them how they're doing. It's the small things in life that make a difference. It only took me so many years to figure that one out. In that you affect people's energy, you affect people's outlook when you could give them some hope or an interaction. And so my suggestion is every day do something that makes a difference. It doesn't have to be, you know, something huge like building a large charity or something like that.
Sure.
It's simple things, saying hello, helping somebody out during the day.
Right.
You know, that doesn't need your help, just somebody that you're willing to help, you know, open a door for someone. Like I said, make people smile. I love to make people smile or make them laugh, changes their moods right away.
Nice.
So these are the little things you could do on a regular basis and you keep doing them. And
sure.
also get out in nature. Nature is where the energy is, where the source is. It's the same thing that created these trees and birds and the sky and the water that's created us. We're a part of it. It's a part of us. So the more you get out there in nature on a regular basis, go for a walk, go to a park, you know, go by a lake or a pond, whatever, doesn't matter.
Sure.
The more in tune you feel with the source within you. Mm-hmm. So very important to embrace this and understand this.
Nice.
Okay? That's what my suggestion would be.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, unfortunately, don't get out in nature as much as they should, actually. And maybe they live in a city and it's hard for them to get out in nature. I don't know.
Exactly.
But I think that's a big part of it. Yeah.
Exactly. That's right. That's totally it.
That's
so, you know, that would be my official recommendation for being a better human being and spiritual being, you know, is to just do the small things and make a difference. And when it comes to the negative times and the energy is very high, right away, pay attention to what you're doing because the energy is taking you and you're flowing with that vibration and try and slow it down and stop it and realize who you are, realize the experiencing you're having. That way you cut the energy flow right away and you realign yourself. That's how it works.
Interesting. Yeah. During these astrological changes and these events coming up this coming year, Joe, from your experience, I don't think time is a constant. I mean, in our third dimensional mind, it's supposed to be constant. I don't think it is. I think it speeds up or slows down. In a time like next month, which you say there's going to be a lot of changes, does time seem to speed up or does it slow down from your experience? Or is there a general?
Well, no, it seems to speed up. It also depends on the planetary positions that we're talking about. For instance, Aries or Mars, one and the same, when they're in a very strong position to another planet, like Gemini or Virgo, our nervous system gets activated and we feel like the Energizer Bunny, you know, need to go, 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 do. And it's very hard to slow that energy down at times.
I see.
Then we have energy that's very slow and methodical, and that's the earth signs like Taurus. Taurus energy is very slow and methodical and easygoing. And so then we have days like that, or sometimes it lasts a little bit longer. And then we just feel like a slug or nothing's moving. Like, for instance, the end of 2020, between the virus and all everything else and the lockdown, the so-called lockdowns, we had four planets in Earth signs. So it felt like nothing was moving. But now that Jupiter and Saturn have switched into air signs, which is all about thought and communication, it's going through the roof. And the need to exchange ideas and information also goes up.
Interesting.
So, that's how it works. So it's a symbolic language for understanding how these cycles work. And so as the planet and the sun highlights different signs and the other planets go into different signs, this is how the energy flow works. Okay. So it ebbs and flows. Sometimes it ebbs off the charts. Sometimes it's really low where you don't want to do anything.
Sure.
We got to ride these cosmic waves. That's my suggestion.
Well, now, in ancient peoples, this was common knowledge, wasn't it? Among the Greeks, among the Romans, the Babylonians, Mesopotamia.
Absolutely. That's all they did was study the stars.
Interesting.
And the movement of the stars, because they knew that was the best way to track time. But even more importantly, they understood that, well, first of all, a lot of these ancient cultures basically weren't even from this planet. Well, and I mean, the evidence is overwhelming.
Sure.
Nephilim and some of the other races,
right.
Egyptians, they were highly advanced
sure.
in a science that, you know, most people can't comprehend,
right.
which is the science of sound and light.
Sure, right.
And so they were able to literally project. And then, of course, they would take a lot of hallucinogenics and so on to
sure.
get them to different places of consciousness and places that they could visit.
Yeah.
A perfect example of that is we have remote viewing. We know that it exists, that it is sure. real.
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. how is that mm-hmm. possible, you know, or psychic well, ability? How is that possible?
I do remote viewing on Monday mornings or during the weekends for the Monday morning lotto numbers. And I tell people that they get wealthy after.
Hey, listen, that's what it's supposed to be used for. Absolutely. Manifest in the material world. Yes. Yes. That's it. I've gotten asked that question before by people that don't understand.
Really?
Well, if you're so psychic, why didn't you predict the lottery numbers and all this other stuff? See, that's not how it works.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You see, psychic ability is something that you must pay attention to on a sort of a spiritual level or on a
right.
subconscious level.
Right.
It's not mm-hmm. something you focus on directly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to make this happen. It's going to happen just like this. No, mm-hmm. psychic ability is a sense.
Right.
It's a sense where your conscious mind is not engaged, but your spirit and your, you know, the other parts of you are engaged. And
sure.
it can pick up. It's like peripheral vision on the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you right. see it, you sense it, but it's
right.
not what you're focusing on.
Right. Right.
That's how it works.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Joe, my spirit guides tell me that Sedona will be one of the first places to ascend into the higher dimensions next year, sometime in the summer, maybe July. So fasten your safety belt, because you're in a perfect spot for it. The other place ascending will be Japan, the entire country of Japan, which is a very spiritual and beautiful place. They believe in Shintoism and spirits, and
mm-hmm.
and sure. they'll be one of the first as well. So
sure.
I'm.
Well, I think many of us are already here in
yeah.
5D.
Oh, yeah.
Because this community, and not that we're any better than anyone else,
right?
That we have an understanding. We have mm-hmm. an understanding of who we are, and
sure.
that we're all spiritual beings having human experiences in different forms. That's all we are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, I got together with some friends last week or something. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. We all laughed. Nobody was wearing a mask.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's worrying about dying. Yeah. It was just, we just understood and had fun.
Right. Right.
You know? So, and we're all kind of on the same spiritual level, you know,
sure.
that we realize that,
sure.
It's life is precious. And the more you come out of kindness and compassion, the happier you are.
I think the purpose of life is to be happy and helping others in a service to others way, and not to be fighting and arguing and being service to self. I think that's not the humanity I know, Joe. So
right. Well, that's our core, that's our nature, but technically
right.
we're just here to experience in every possible way.
Mm-hmm.
The good, the bad, and the ugly, to experience different things, tastes, smells, interactions with other people. This is just a huge playground. To
sure.
experience things in the physical world. And
sure.
that means everything.
Right.
Everything. You know,
right.
and see how we react to it, you know, or engage in it. It's up to us. That's the
sure.
free will.
Sure, sure, sure. I think you do fantastic work, Joe. And I wanted, if you could get out your links or people could look you up
sure.
maybe, or if they're driving through Sedona, they can stop by and see you, have a cup of.
Well, I don't know about that one, but okay. I'm way busy these days, but
yeah,
thank
okay.
you. Planetswithin.com is my main website. Then I've got josephpanthony.com. And I believe either one of those sites, you could find my social media links. So you'll want to subscribe to my YouTube channel and social media, because I do post a lot on those, everything from astrology to political nonsense to spiritual matters. So mm-hmm. very important to keep up to date right now. The more we could spread this information and the truth about life, that we are spiritual beings and we're going through a transformation, I think the better everyone will be.
Sure. Sure. Well, one thing I like about you, Joe, is that you truly care about humanity and people, and you got a heart of gold, and you really try to help people. That's what I like.
Well, it's either that or do something else, you know. Don't participate and don't engage and go live in the woods somewhere. I mean, that's nice too, but it's a totally different ball game. But yeah, but thank you for those words, Ted.
No, I've always liked your work, and I really admire you for helping people. You got a good heart about it, and that's what I like about you, and I love having you on my show. We got about 2 minutes left, couple minutes left, and I was going to say, if people came up to you on the street and said, Joe, how do I make this planet a better place? What would you tell them?
Well, again, the same advice I gave earlier is, remember who you are, number one, okay, that you're not your mind, you're not your body.
Uh-huh.
You're basically the consciousness in that suit.
Sure.
And that every day do something that makes you happy and puts a smile on your face. And if you can make a difference in someone else's life as well, even better. And as you keep doing that, you're basically conditioning yourself to understanding who you are.
Right.
That's how it works.
Right, right.
Instead of chasing money, instead of chasing things, instead of chasing illusions.
Right,
you
right.
You know, stick to the natural world. And everything else will fall into place. That's how it works. That's the advice I give, and that's the advice I live my life by. Mm-hmm. And I think we're waking up more and more every day to that fact.
Sure, sure. So. And I think it's important for people to realize that the light is always stronger than the dark, and we will get through this. Just a matter of time. We're all being tested, and just remember that if you're having challenges. That these challenges will be over within, I think, a couple of months, if not sooner. And we are well on the way to a beautiful new planet. So I'm looking forward to it myself. I really am.
Absolutely. Well, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to a lot of great spirits on the other side, including Nostradamus, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, John F. Kennedy. And they all said, we'd love to trade places with you at this moment in history, because it is an exciting time. Full of wonderful possibilities, and we're destined to become a much better and happier planet. So I almost said, okay, let's change places. No, but I didn't. I said, I have to be here. Yeah.
So. You know, people don't realize what a gift it is to be in these physical suits.
Absolutely.
Even though it's painful.
That's true. That's true.
Because we can't do the things we could do, in these other realms of consciousness, because we don't have form.
That's right. That's right. And they don't have Happy Meals on the other side anyway.
Exactly. So. That's right. Where can you get some GMO food like that? Boy.
God knows what's in it.
Exactly. I'd
rather not know.
Exactly.
So. Well, by the way, at the beginning, I wanted to mention to everybody that my website is outofthisworldradio.net. And it's listener supported, and I really appreciate all your support, everyone listening out there. And Joe, once again, thank you so much for coming on my show today. You gave a fantastic interview. I'm sorry about our first interview, but this one worked out great. And have a wonderful yes. And you got a copy too, so we got two copies here. So anyway, that's good.
All right. Well, thank you, Ted. Have a wonderful holiday, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joe. You take care. Merry Christmas, my friend, and Happy New Year.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.